We continue our journey across the world and into the stars and the stories that they have to tell us. In this episode of Unearthly Quests, we are exploring the constellation of Cassiopeia. My name is Sarah Lynn, and I will be your tour guide for this quest as we travel the world looking for the stories of the Queen of the Night Sky. The word of the day for this episode is circumpolar. Circumpolar constellations are those in the sky all year round, never setting below the horizon. All stars in our sky seem to revolve around the North Star Polaris. Check out my first episode on Ursa Major and Ursa Minor to learn more about Polaris. Because of this phenomenon, the stars closest to Polaris don't go below the horizon in most places. The further south you are, the less true this is. Cassiopeia is one of these constellations, as well as Ursa Major and Minor, Draco, Cepheus, and Camelopardalis, all of which will be covered in future episodes. The constellation of Cassiopeia is made up of five stars that make up a W or M shape, and is found in the northern part of the sky, not too far from Polaris, and rests inside the white band in the sky we call the Milky Way. The five stars in this constellation are called Rookbach, Gamma Cassiopeiae, Skedar, and Kaf. Once again, we travel to ancient Greece, this time to meet a beautiful but boastful queen. To tell this story, we need to know about the sea nymphs and Poseidon, the god of the sea. Poseidon was the brother of Zeus, the sky god and god of gods, and Hades, the god of the underworld. Poseidon was married to a sea nymph named Amphitrite. The sea nymphs were seen as the most beautiful women, and were often seen swimming with dolphins and other creatures of the sea. Poseidon was proud to be married to one of the most beautiful women, but unfortunately, his pride often turned to anger. Cassiopeia was the queen of Ethiopia, and wife of King Cepheus. She was also very vain. She would tell anyone who would listen that she and her daughter Andromeda were more beautiful than the sea nymphs, which of course meant that she was more beautiful than Amphitrite, Poseidon's wife. This infuriated the god of the sea, so he sent his most horrific sea monster Cetus to ravage the coasts of her kingdom. So Queen Cassiopeia and King Cepheus consulted an oracle, and they were told they had to sacrifice their daughter Andromeda to appease Poseidon's wrath. So they chained Andromeda to a rock as sacrifice to Cetus. But before Cetus could reach her, Perseus, a warrior, had slayed the beast and saved her. And then he married Andromeda. However, Poseidon was not happy that Cassiopeia would not be punished for her vanity. So he tied her to a chair and sent her into the sky, where the beautiful queen would sit upside down in her torture chair for all eternity. In some depictions, she is seen sitting in her chair, staring into a mirror as a symbol of her vanity. Now, let's visit the ancient Norse, where this constellation is depicted as a squirrel running up and down the world tree Yggdrasil. In Norse mythology, Yggdrasil is the central sacred tree. Around it exists the nine worlds. At the top of the tree is perched an eagle, and at its base lurks the dragon Nidhogg, gnawing at its roots. Ratatosk, the squirrel, runs up and down the world tree, conveying insults between the eagle and Nidhogg. Ratatosk is thought to have been a trickster who enjoyed stirring up animosity between the two, likely making their insults worse with each visit. You can see this story throughout what we see now as the band of the Milky Way. The trickiest thing about Norse mythology is the Old Norse didn't have a written language. Their stories were written down many years later, and all of the myths we know come from the Prose Edda. We've been able to gather some more information from various relics found, but for the most part, we have no idea what the stories they told around campfires or before bedtime really were. Ratatosk was mentioned only one time in the Prose Edda. An eagle sits at the top of the ash, and it has knowledge of many things. Between its eyes sit the hawk called Veðurfolnir. The squirrel called Ratatosk runs up and down the ash. He tells slanderous gossip, provoking the eagle and Nidhogg. Like many of the stories I tell, the Norse myths have been morphed and twisted throughout the hundreds of years since they were first told. Now, let's travel to the Middle East, where Cassiopeia is known as Al-Kaf Al-Kadib, or the henna-dyed hand. This constellation is one of two hands in the Arabic sky. The other is the amputated hand. They are both hands of Theraia. It is thought to be the most honored star group, and is called the abundant darling of the heavens. The Theraia is anthropomorphized as a woman and stretches across a large area of the sky. One of her hands, the henna-dyed hand, is the constellation we know as Cassiopeia. Henna is a dye that is green when prepared and leaves an orange stain when applied to skin or hair. It is often applied to the hands of women during celebrations, such as weddings. We continue our journey now to ancient India and visit the Hindu story of Cassiopeia. We meet Sharmishtha, the daughter of a king. Sharmishtha went to bathe in the forest not far from her home with Devayani, the daughter of a sage. After their bath, Sharmishtha grabs Devayani's sari by accident and puts it on. When they return, Devayani scolds Sharmishtha for the mistake and belittles her. This infuriated Sharmishtha, and she throws the naked Devayani into a well. Later, Yayati, the son of Nahusha, a king of the Ela dynasty, comes to the well for water and helps Devayani out of the well. Devayani tells him that because he has held her right hand, that he should be her husband. And they get married. After a while, Yayati meets Sharmishtha and becomes captivated by her beauty and intelligence, and Sharmishtha falls in love with Yayati and becomes his second wife. When Devayani finds out about her husband's relation with Sharmishtha, she complains to her father, who curses Yayati with old age for causing his daughter pain, but later tells him that if one of his sons could take his old age, he would give him his youth back. All of his sons reject this, except for Sharmishtha's son Puru. Yayati makes him a descendant, and Sharmishtha is blessed for her sacrifices and converted to the constellation we call Cassiopeia when she dies. Now we travel to the United States, to the state of Washington, where we will visit the Quileute people. They have a story of five brothers who go on an elk hunt in the fall. The youngest brother did not want to go hunting that day and stayed home. The other four brothers took their canoe upriver. When they had gone a long ways, they stopped and started on foot in search for elk. Before going too far, they were stopped by a large man who greeted them and asked where they were going. "We are elk hunting, man of the prairie," they replied. He told them he knew how to find all the elk they wanted and asked them to wait so he could drive the elk down the ravine to them so they could kill them. The man of the prairie was a bit of a trickster, and as he was walking away, he told the brothers that he would trade their bad arrows for some good ones that he had saved. They readily agreed to this and made the trade. The better-looking arrows looked fine, but were weak. The man of the prairie left them to find the elk. The brothers waited, and soon a huge elk came running down the ravine. But their new arrows were worthless, and they were unable to kill the elk. So instead, the elk turned on them and killed all four brothers. The elk then turned into the man of the prairie. The fifth brother was still waiting at home, and when his brothers didn't return, he went out looking for them. He soon found their canoe and tracked their footprints, and soon he also saw the man of the prairie. He tried to trick the last brother as he had the others, but the fifth brother was a medicine man and had powerful magic of his own, and he could not be persuaded to trade his arrows. When the man of the prairie turned away, the youngest brother hid behind a tree, and soon the man changed himself into an elk and came charging. But the brother was ready with his bow and shot 4 arrows, one for each of his brothers, and kills the elk. So he takes out his knife and skins the elk, then drives 5 stakes into it to stretch it out. When he was finished, the skin was larger than the prairie, so he threw it up into the sky. The 5 bright stars of Cassiopeia represent the 5 holes punched into the elk skin and the 5 brothers. Many civilizations have had interpretations of this constellation. Not all of them have stories attached to them, or rather, their stories may have been lost. In some cases, this constellation represents items of importance to their culture. For example, the Greenlandic Inuit people see 3 of the stars in the constellation of Cassiopeia as a lampstand made of 3 stones, on which a soapstone oil lamp is placed. Other Inuit people see it as an oil or blubber container. The Sami people see Cassiopeia as an elk, an important source of food for them. And the people of the Marshall Islands see this constellation as the tail of a porpoise called Ke. The stars in the constellations of Aries, Andromeda, and Triangulum make up the porpoise's body. So what can you find with a telescope or binoculars in Cassiopeia? Well, you can see 2 Messier galaxies, M103 and M52. And in early August, you can see the Perseid meteor shower in part of Cassiopeia. You can also see the Pac-Man Nebula, named so because it resembles the video game character. Thank you for joining me on this unearthly quest. Next time, we'll explore the constellation stories associated with the Milky Way, the white band in the sky that you can see on a clear night. Each week, I give out arbitrary star points. Once you've reached 500 star points, you can call yourself a star apprentice. At 1,000, a star master. And at 5,000 points, you're a constellation wizard. For listening to this episode, you've received 107 star points. If you found Cassiopeia in the night sky, 78 star points. If you subscribe to this podcast, 53 star points. If you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, 104 star points, which is the best way you can support this podcast. If I start getting more reviews on Apple Podcasts, I can start making episodes more frequently and make them a bit longer. All you have to do is open up Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. If you don't have Apple Podcasts, then follow this podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen. That helps out a lot too. And even if you don't, I really appreciate you listening. So thank you for joining me. And remember, we are all made of stardust.